Welcome, everybody, to the Out of Chicago podcast. My name is Michael Novo, and today with me, I have a very special guest. We're going to be talking about some travel photography, packaging, what you would call it. But my guest today is Jordana Wright, and we're at the Out of Chicago conference. How are you, Jordana?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am quite well. Now, you are not just you have photography experience. You do commercial photography.
Mm-hmm.
I was in your little, what was that class called?
It was like Picnic in the Park, the food photography photo walk.
Yes, yeah. It was. And it was the worst one for several reasons. Let me just tell you why your workshop was the worst. It was horrible because, first off, I have to hold these pastries around, can't eat them. And
yeah.
It's like, it was at a time when I was like, I really just want the pastry. And so, and then you get the bees that start attracting to you a little bit. So it was like a double whammy. It's like, you can't eat these, and now you have to avoid the bees. But I got some cool photos.
Good.
So it worked out well. No, I think the workshop was actually great. I enjoyed the walk, and you led it very well. So it was actually a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So tell me your day-to-day thing now. You do a lot of commercial things. What's your focus?
So primarily food photography. I travel quite a bit to accommodate clients all over the place. I work mostly for chefs and restaurants directly for their social media, their menus, their web presence, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But then I also work with a lot of events companies to photograph decor and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Would that include the venue itself with all the place settings?
Yeah,
like
the
that?
Venues and like the designers. And
okay.
That
and that's
stuff.
Quite a thing because I do weddings, but the people who do the design, they often contact me and they're like, can you please send us this? This is a setup that we haven't done before. So they try to keep fresh. So it's actually, I thought that it's an industry where you shoot once and you're pretty much like done for a while, but they have to keep up with the trends. So
yeah, well, and each event is such an investment, both in terms of like time and money. So they really want to make sure they have that for future portfolios and getting more clients.
Right. How does one, we're going to be talking about like travel and how to pack, which is honestly where I personally struggle the most anytime I do it. Like, I think you overpack everything, you realize you didn't use half of it, you mm-hmm. spent an extra several hundred dollars for lugging stuff with you. But before we talk about that, I'm kind of curious, like in terms of the food photography, and I go out to the restaurants with my friends who are foodists, let's say. They're mm-hmm. not foodies, they're foodists, as I've learned. And they're doing that, like, let's do our phone and let's do the lighting. So how are you pulling out in the market from, like, a restaurant owner who might say, like, well, if you see that they took their own photo with, like, the cell phone and it looks kind of flat, how are you approaching that or working into that industry?
So, I mean, there's always going to be somebody that wants to do it for themselves for cheaper. But I think the distinction is the level of detail and the quality of the image itself. I'm shooting with very specific lenses under very specific lighting conditions to try to make the food look as good as possibly can.
And the ones that you're usually making those lighting conditions.
Yeah, so. I shoot primarily with natural light. I try to keep natural light as much as I can. Sometimes in a pinch, I'll use a little bit of fill flash, but
okay.
Food just looks better with real light.
Right. Right. But you're ultimately controlling the light because a lot of times somebody walks up and it's like whatever the flash is on the camera, light up the food because that's what they figure people want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a big difference. I mean, I'll go to like Chinatown here and, you'll see the photo and I'm not quite sure what the photo is of. I think there's food in there. And so there's a little bit of a differentiator. So that's kind of neat. And you travel a lot for the photography.
I do, yeah. Food photography allows me to travel, and then while I'm on the road, I shoot what I want to shoot for myself.
Oh, okay. And is it shooting like other food things? Are you setting up other like professional shoots, or are you just out and about shooting scenes?
So I'm out and about just kind of exploring. I really like to photograph a place the first time I've ever been there. I feel like that's the most interesting a place ever looks to me, is like that first time. But I also am starting to maneuver into like workshop setting stuff. So recently I started putting together a workshop in Nicaragua for the fall.
Oh, wow.
So I'm working on that. That's going to be like the first workshop that I'm doing myself.
What is the focus going to be of photo? Is it going to be the places, the people, everything?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of everything. A lot of like the colonial architecture and culture that's there. And then also getting into like the jungle and the volcanoes. Lake Nicaragua is huge and beautiful and has all these ecosystems associated with it. So it's just kind of a little bit of everything, cities and countryside.
That sounds most, you know, if you want to bring me along and have me record a podcast for you, I'm just saying it's a possibility. We can work it out. When you are traveling, when you're packing for the road, and again, as I said, like, this is like where I struggle. I'll do destination weddings. And so I, you know, it's like, I just bring everything, bring all the light stands. What is your, how are you packing? Actually, we started chatting about this because when I saw you here at the conference, you showed me your Chromebook, which is versus my, I have my laptop with me. It's 15 pounds and it's just like the thing is a monster. So you're clearly much more prepared for like the travel of it. So give me some tips. What should I do when I'm traveling somewhere?
Sure. So I never check a bag. I'm carry on only.
Really?
Yep. So my Pelican is what I travel with my gear inside, but I use modular storage inside the Pelican. And so I have the Pelican in a backpack and all of my clothing and like stuff to live is in the backpack. But then when I get where I'm going and I'm settled, I take all the like clothing and day-to-day stuff out of the backpack and move the modular camera compartments into the backpack. So I can work out of the backpack as I go. But for the big travel days and stuff, I have the Pelican for extra security.
Wow. Okay. Cause I did see that you have that with you today. And so yeah. I did see you kind of looking through that and yeah. And it lets you put a lock on there and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I'm checking usually like my light stand bag. So what if I was bringing light stands? Are you just like strapping it to your bag or trying to carry that onto the plane as well?
I just have not needed to travel with that kind of equipment. So I'm pretty mobile. I have a tripod that I travel with, but it's a super compact travel one that fits inside my Pelican.
Oh, okay.
So
that's a small case. What tripod? Do you remember what tripod that is?
Oh, I have to look. Let's see. Yeah.
All right. We'll look that up. We'll add that into the show notes, but that, okay, that thing must break down to be less than like a foot or so.
It's pretty small and it's light. My goal when I travel is to have the ability to walk a couple of miles with all of my crap and I'm not requiring anyone's assistance to get it in the overhead bin or anything like that. Like I want to be very self-sufficient.
What about the, and I think that the average person who might be listening to it who overpacks like myself, we have that FOMO, the fear of missing out. It's like, if only I had that piece of gear with me, then that would have made this shot possible. Have you had those moments or how do you cope with them? Or you're just like, life is great.
I feel like I've never really missed a shot because of lack of gear. I've missed a shot because of lack of mobility, you know, where I can't walk away from all my stuff because earlier on I'd be traveling with so much crap that you can't just leave a giant suitcase on the side of the road and go get your shot. But I'm so mobile now that I can go do whatever I need to do and it's not a problem.
That you did you start by initially overpacking?
Like Oh, okay.
All right. So there's hope for me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
So top tips you've got, let's say you have a first time destination wedding, portrait, commercial shooter, like they're looking to go, where does the planning begin? How do you figure out what it is that you need to take with you?
So I have the same kit that I shoot regardless of what I'm shooting. I shoot destination weddings occasionally and I bring the same thing that I would bring to a food shoot. So, I mean, you want to make sure that you're not doubling up on your millimeters. Like there's no reason to have redundant lenses.
Okay.
Because it's just extra weight.
So if I shoot, let's say, a 24-70, like for whatever portion of the day, but I also love to sometimes throw on my 35 millimeter, maybe the 35 can just stay at home in this.
Sure. I mean, you could, but it depends on what your specific needs are. Like for food, I really like those short fixed focal length lenses. So if you're going to double up, that's a good instance to do it. But you don't need three zoom lenses. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's certain things you can go without.
Right. So envision the shoot in your mind in advance and then kind of pack for that.
Yeah, exactly. You just want a full range from like super close up to super zoomy. And as long as everything's kind of met along the way, then you're good.
And so, and for you, like you're not, you know, have you grown into using the natural or available light from using lighting? Is that something that's evolved as part of like the fact, because you don't have to pack a strobe kit with you or anything like that?
I will pack like one hot shoe mount flash just in case I want to do something and I have like a trigger where I can get it off the camera if I want to make it more interesting lighting.
Okay.
But it never gets used. And I bring it for things like just in case I have to shoot a restaurant at night or something. But it's like a last ditch effort. It's not my choice to use it.
Got it. And one of the things that I've heard, you know, as to why people carry around these SLRs or why they haven't moved to mirrorless or smaller cameras is that, you know, you don't look as professional on a set or an art director. That's what's been told to me and it's hearsay, but is that anything that you've encountered ever or not really?
I don't really think about that. My problem is that people always think I'm like 15 years old. So
okay.
I'm combating that issue more than my gear not being good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
they're like, is your mommy with you?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know that I would have questioned you on that. But I took your workshop. I was fine. That's cool. Listen, she's 14 running the class. It's like the Doogie Howser of photography. You're older than 15, though.
I'm 31.
All right.
Yep.
You're a little bit older.
I'm twice 15. Yeah.
Right. So what is a normal shoot then? Like you show up with your gear, you unpack for the day. Are you traveling alone for the most part?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. And how does a normal, let's say, restaurant or food menu shoot work?
So a lot of it is set up in advance. I'll talk to the client about how much of the menu they want to shoot, what their goals are, what the images are going to be used for.
This is before you're even out there.
This is before I'm even out there. Okay. When we're setting it up. Because a lot of people are more interested in like the tight food shots, and some people are more interested in something where you're going to have patrons sitting and eating. Maybe they're blurred out and the focus is the food, but they want a human in the shot. So we got to hammer all that stuff out ahead of time. That's also where I let them know that it's got to be natural light. Save me a table by the window. I'm going to shoot there, and just kind of give them a concept of how the day is going to proceed so that there's no surprises.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the food itself, I basically say, send it out to me as quickly as you get it ready in the kitchen, because I'm going to shoot it quickly. I don't do any like bizarre trickery using Elmer's glue instead of milk or any of that stuff. It's all real.
Which now is didn't they make that illegal? Like, there's some law that passed where you can no longer.
Okay.
It has to be actual food product.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. There was some documentary I thought I saw.
But there's like steam drops you can use, and I don't want that. I want it to be the actual real food. So
okay.
You have to shoot it quickly or it starts to look crappy.
Have you worked with food stylists before who were there next to you? And
yeah.
They're like, let me do that.
Yeah.
And what is that like?
It's interesting. There's some benefits to it because
right.
They see the minutia that I wouldn't necessarily have picked up on, but it also can be kind of inhibiting to have somebody in your grill when you're trying to do your thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so let's say now I've listened to you on this podcast. I want to do it because I've been photographing food and I want to take it to that next level. What are the steps that you took to break into the industry? Like how are you booking let alone local restaurants, which you can just walk into, but now if you're traveling for them and getting distant requests, how did that come to be?
So it started initially because my husband is in the events industry and he has a lot of friends who are chefs. So I started photographing those chefs' work, and then word of mouth, happy people, pretty pictures, it all kind of spiraled into more business.
Okay.
And then
you didn't just throw it up on the website and say like, here you go, I've arrived.
Yeah, I know. And then I shot a couple of food festivals also, which helps introduce you to a lot of chefs and gets a lot of your work out there. And those were things that I was shooting just to have my expenses covered and get to go to the events. And then as a result of that, I had money making opportunities later.
Right. Right. And at some point, like you have to figure out the business strategy of it, of how much I'm socializing versus how much now do I charge more for this one because this is an opportunity. So there's a business aspect to it as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's like a fine line that we're all still kind of trying to figure out as we go. I don't know that anybody has it down to an exact science,
right.
At least not in my social group.
No. Well, and plus if you're working with chefs and restaurant owners, this is such a fly by night kind
it
of
is.
Business that you
yeah.
have to be just on point right there.
Well, and it's an investment because restaurants have almost a different way of like handling their revenue than a lot of other companies would. So they see, oh, your photo shoot's going to be $900, and they balk at it at first, and then they realize they're getting their entire menu, they're getting all the social media, they're getting just tons of shots to be able to use in perpetuity. Right. So it's one of those things you have to kind of finesse as you go.
And the difficult part thing is that, and I do a little bit of commercial real estate photography, but it's hard because there's an ROI there, but they might not necessarily realize it, that if I look at a place, and we've gotten to such a point where people are checking 40 places on Yelp before they go out to eat, that if you look and you see like a menu with like good quality photos of their food or the environment, that there is some mental, I believe that there's some mental factor that's going to impact you going there or not. Same thing for selling something on eBay. Mm-hmm. You know, when my mom got into the industry and I taught her to finally sell things and shoot them in a light box and things like that, all of a sudden her sales, they didn't just increase in number, but the value increased and people were willing to pay more for something that looks good, mm-hmm. regardless of what they remember the taste being like. And so, I mean, is that, how do you convey that to a restaurant owner and say like, listen, you're likely going to see more people coming in because of the quality that we can make for you?
In a lot of ways, the work kind of has to speak for itself. So I'm just making sure that they're seeing the most applicable, most appealing, most beautiful photos that I want to try to generate more business from. Also, restaurateurs know more restaurateurs. So if you make one person happy, you're going to get their friends.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So it ends up being a very much like feet on the ground.
Kind of business. I mean, I've never advertised it. It's mostly just reaching out to friends of friends and then letting it kind of go on its own way.
That's very cool. And especially I'll make a shout out to him now. So thank you to your husband who allowed, I was meeting a couple for an engagement session. He was the manager in the restaurant at the time, and I didn't recognize him because he was here with you at last year's conference, I think. Yeah. But I didn't really recognize him, but I was wearing an Out of Chicago t-shirt, which Chris will appreciate. And he looked at the back and he's like, hey, he's like, I was there. And he's like, there's my wife's name on the back of the shirt. And so he pointed to it. He's like, you guys can shoot here all you want and let us like take up the entire back section of the place. So thank you. I don't know if he listens to this, but you should tell him. Be like,
I'll let him know.
We talked about you. If folks want to get a hold of you or if they're interested in finding out more about your workshop, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So about the workshop specifically.
Sure.
So it's in October. It's October 22nd to 29th. It is based in Granada, Nicaragua. And it's a pretty full schedule. We're doing volcano hikes, a night trip to a volcano to watch the lava flow. We're doing like a cloud forest tour, boat tours on a beautiful lake with tons of little islands. I mean, it's a little bit of everything.
Very cool.
Cigar rolling experience and coffee plantation tour.
Now we're talking.
Yep, exactly. So the focus of it isn't to spend a lot of time in a classroom. It's more to spend time actively out shooting. And then there will be some peer review and some one-on-one kind of going over portfolios and stuff.
That's awesome.
But for the most part, I'm just trying to facilitate a positive travel photography experience for other people. It's not so that everyone can sit in a room and see how brilliant I am. It's so that they can go do their thing.
And you can mentor people on how to pack for the trip, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's going to be a pretty serious packing list in terms of what I want you to limit it to. My goal is for everyone to do carry-on only because it erases so many headaches if you can just know that all of your stuff is physically with you at all times.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'm definitely, I mean, I think you've convinced me to look into a Chromebook now and go that route because lugging around 15-pound laptops on my back all day, you know, it takes a toll after a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's very cool. And if they want to reach out to you, where can they find out? Is there a website where they can find out more about the workshop or find your work and check you out?
Yeah. So JordanaWright.com, and there's a link on the homepage to the workshop page. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. It's all Jordana Wright.
It's all
pretty easy to find.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know you've got class coming up soon or you're going to be doing some photo walks here. So I will, I won't keep you any longer, but thank you so much for taking a few minutes with me and looking forward to seeing some of your workshops this weekend.
Thank you.